Would you join me in prayer? God, we've heard your holy word and we ask you to speak through your word. Speak through me. In Jesus the Christ's name, amen. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at faith and how to grow our faith. The opportunity to grow in faith is wondrous. So we begin today. The first place that I thought we would begin is in the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the very few stories that is in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In each of them, they have a pretty thorough account of this miracle, which suggests the importance that it was to all of the believing disciples and apostles. As we come on the scene, Jesus is overwhelmed with the crowd, so we thought, well, maybe I'll space this out. He gets in a boat, and they go 4 miles away because there weren't a lot of boats available. But the crowd was pretty persistent. As he went by water, they walked along the shore. So that when he came to the other side of the water, about 4 miles, the crowd was there, awaiting him. They sensed something was happening. They wanted that which Jesus was bringing to the people to be brought to them. They wanted to experience God. They didn't fully understand it. Some perhaps realized he was the Messiah. Some hoped that he was the Messiah. All of them realized that this must be some awesome prophet, and they did not want to miss it. They did not want to miss it. Now, one of the beauties of this scene, as we go into this, it's there are a number of people there who didn't get it at first. And so we come to the scene, and we come with our limited understanding and our limited faith, and God does something. I love children's accounts of some of these events. In one of the Sunday school classes, not here, but in other places, they had some six-year-olds drawing pictures of this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And there was one little girl. She had 12 figures carrying baskets of loaves and fishes. And each of the figures had a ribbon, a hair ribbon. So the Sunday school teacher said, "Why the ribbon?" And she said, "Those are the waitresses carrying." At first glance, we say she didn't get it. But as we look at it, the disciples and all who would follow are called to serve. So maybe she got it better than we did. But it's almost like those are the 12 holy figures. Have you ever seen a fisherman after they've finished working in the water? They're just really great to hug, I'm told. And so they come, but they were servants of God. And the disciples didn't all get this. They probably would have been offended if they were called the equivalent of waitresses. But it's servants of God, and so it was right. Another little girl, the Sunday school teacher watched her making this picture of Jesus. And the little girl had this thing in her hand. She said, "What is it?" And she said, "It's a bread knife in the picture." And she's trying to think. And finally she said, "I give up. I can't make the slices thin enough for 5,000. Now, that little girl is essentially where the disciples were. Remember that Jesus sees the need. And Jesus could have been mad that they followed him. I mean, did you ever want a little time by yourself? Can you think of a time when maybe you wanted a time by yourself and then everyone came to you? Maybe it was even your dear family. they descend upon you and you have lost your space-time. I've shared with you before, I remember when I was a young father, my daughter, I'd love to get my space-time behind a newspaper, and my daughter, in her very graceful, feminine-like way, ripped the paper out of my hand, sometimes in half. And she said, "Daddy, hi." She wanted time. And these people wanted time with Jesus. And as they come upon the scene, here's these, it says 5,000 were there. It says 5,000 men. If we assume for a minute that they brought, like, the spouse and maybe some children, you can guess between 5,000 and 15,000. In any case, it's a lot of people. Wouldn't you love to come home and surprise the one who's cooking? "Oh, I brought a few thousand extra people." But here this happens, and Jesus is filled with compassion for them because he knows they're walked, and it can be hot in that region. And he looks at them, and they're saying, and he says, "What do we have to eat for them?" I think he was demonstrating his servanthood, the fact that he wanted to provide for the needs of the people. But he also wanted his disciples to begin to exercise faith, to think beyond the ordinary boundaries, to think beyond all the reasons that they cannot help these people, and in thinking beyond, to begin to look for ways that they can help these people. 5,000 or more hungry people. It says he was testing them by asking a question. I remind you, if any of you are a teacher, that the purpose of tests is not to put the student down, though it felt like that a number of times. The purpose of a test is to facilitate and challenge the student to grow, to exercise what they're learning, to challenge them to learn more and to grow from that. So he's seeking ways for them to grow. And then he says, "What are we going to do?" And he says, where shall we buy bread for these people? And Philip, the practical one, says, "It'd take a half a year's wages." And they didn't have 6 months to work for it. So he's saying to Jesus, it's impossible. And Jesus wanted them to think of the reasons they couldn't, so that when the time came later, they would think of the reasons they could transcend the barriers that were in their way and not be held back by them. And Andrew, by the way, you remember the disciple Andrew, Simon Peter's brother? I really liked Andrew. I'm not at all like Andrew, but I liked Andrew. Andrew was kind of a silent type, and he went and got his brother Peter, who talked too much. I'm a little more like that. And he would get them, and he brought him to the Lord, and he just kept bringing people to the Lord. And so Andrew says, "Well, there's a little boy here with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will I go with so many?" I want you to realize that what Andrew did, we can perceive that as a lack of faith, but I perceive it as great faith. He saw what was there and was willing to give, to use the resources they had by giving them to Jesus. By giving them to Jesus. When we're called to do something, when we have a chance to make a difference, the biggest question that comes to our mind is, what can I do? Have you ever thought that? Maybe sometime they ask you to be the junior high youth group leader or Sunday school teacher. And then maybe the first thought is, what can I do? Or maybe the second thought is, will I survive? And they're beginning to think beyond that and to take it to Jesus. And when we move, maybe the first step is telling Jesus all that we can't do. But it means telling Jesus how faith does our faith need to go. It needs to go far enough so that we reach out to Jesus, that we begin to think, what could God do through us? Elizabeth Elliot, who is the missionary whose husband was killed in mission work and then took her young child out to work with the same tribe that had killed her husband. And she did it because in the midst of her grief, she wanted to do something for Jesus. She wrote, if the only thing you have to offer is a broken heart, you offer a broken heart. Realizing that nothing I have, nothing I am, will be refused on the part of Christ. I simply give it to Jesus as the little boy gave Jesus his five loaves and two fish. With the same feeling of the disciples when they said, what is the good of that for such a large crowd or such a need? Naturally, and almost anything I offer to Christ, my reaction would be, what is good of that? What's the point? What's the use of it? But that's not my task. It's God's business. It's Jesus' business. And it's His to bless. And when we begin to look at that, things happen. In this miracle, there are several ways that people approach it. Some call it the division of the loaves, or the dividing up. And they see it as kind of like a miracle. They believe that the people that were there were so touched by the act of the child that they took out all the stores they had hidden. You know, they had stuff that they didn't want others to realize they had, and they shared it. And when they shared it, it was enough. And certainly that would be miraculous in itself. If the people of God were willing to share all that they had beyond themselves to help others. And so if you call it the division or the dividing up or the sharing, there's a miracle enough. Some call it the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, meaning that as they were eaten, they just reduplicated themselves so that there was more than enough. It is a miracle in either case. It's miraculous in either case because God is at work. I remember reading of a case where they're trying to raise money for a church in England, and there was a lot of money to do there, and this little boy came forward, and they invited everyone to come and bring the offering, and some people brought cash and checks and stuff. I don't know if they had checks back then, but in any case, they brought what they could, and the little boy placed a top and five marbles in the offering plate. Now, the classical naysayers were about to sort of scorn the little boy for his offering. But some wise gentleman, very high in the church, he thanked the boy. And then he offered a fair amount of money to buy the top and put that in the offer. And he said, I have five friends who will buy each of those marbles for a similar amount of money. And they raised so much money that they're able to build the church. When it came time to lay the cornerstone, can you remember when we did it here? I wasn't here, but some of you were. I've been at the laying of cornerstones. The most precious thing they put in the cornerstone, what do you suppose they put in the cornerstone? A top and five marbles. Do you realize the difference that that would have made to that boy? He was valued for what he could give. He was valued for what he could give. It's kind of like the miracle of the sharing. He saw what God could do with what he gave. And that's kind of like the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. But for me, the truly, truly awesome miracle that occurs is the transformation of the people as they begin to get just a hint what God can do with their own lives if they simply share it. You know, in the Byzantine period of history, and in the Holy Land, about 300-400 years after Jesus' time, they started to put up little chapels or churches where these great miracles had happened, different ones. And in Cana, not far from Capernaum, there's a place called the Seven Rivers, and they call it in Aramaic. I won't share what that is. And they have the loaves and the fishes there. And they put it in their floor, and they even had like a little table within the tiles where loaves and fishes. And after a time, they put it on this big stone, which they said had been where it happened. And people started to break off pieces of the stone to begin to have the sense that God could do it for them. The most precious thing they did in that chapel, on the table of stones with the loaves and fishes on it, was to celebrate another miracle that made them one, that increased their efforts, and that transformed their faith. In that place, which could have been called living water, they took what they received to be the bread of life. And they remembered how on the night on which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. That which divided them was made whole again. After the same manner also they took the cup, and he said to him, this is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It was the miracle of a new beginning for the community, for the world, and for themselves. invite you now to come to the table and we'll share the meal. Now, our Lord's Holy Supper, just for those of you that aren't familiar with how we do this, if you're uncomfortable coming to the table, if you signal, one of the elders will have a tray with wine and bread on it, and they will bring it to you. If you're comfortable, the ushers will signal you to come down and to receive it from the elders. Now, for those of you who may feel a distance in your faith for whatever happened this week or this year or last forever, the God who prepared this meal forgives, and he transforms, and he loves you. And if you wish to receive his love, signal for someone to come to you or come and receive his body, broken for you, his blood shed with infinite love. Let us pray. We thank you, God, that you've not only prepared the meal, you have prepared us, and we would be transformed by your presence and your love.